I was just telling the doctor personally how much I appreciate his time. Dr. Jan Kidiyevsky is joining us this morning, and he has got a long list of numbers and letters that go after his name. University of Illinois Cancer Center and the head of Department of Physiology and Biophysics at the University of Illinois Chicago, and our guest this morning. Dr. Kidiyevsky, I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really excited about talking about HB 1779 and why it's so important.
So am I. And the reason why is because we've got some personal experience with this already. And this is a resource that we don't see as much as maybe we should, but we'll get to that in a couple of moments. This legislation, which Dr. Kidiyevsky was just talking about, House Bill 1779, they called it the biomarker legislation. Didn't have a very glamorous name to it, does it? Because it is sitting on the governor's desk, and it's part of some 650, 700 pieces of legislation that are waiting to be signed by the governor. It is a flurry of this blizzard of this stuff out there. First off, we need to talk about what biomarkers are. I mean, what this just a few short years ago would have been considered science fiction, that you can take a DNA sample and tell somebody's medical future. Talk to us about this, doctor.
Yeah, so biomarker tests are huge. In the early days, it might have been a discolored mole, but now we can sequence the complete genome and have a picture of the type of cancers you might face. It's important because they can be used to either detect the cancer early when it's treatable or target a cancer treatment in a more precise way. So now we have drugs that are used when needed based on the sequence of your genes. And we wouldn't use those drugs in patients who don't have those same alterations. So now we're talking about precise cancer care or precision oncology. So treating early and treating more precisely is going to give us good outcomes. And that's what this biomarker bill is all about.
And I think when you look at this and what people know about it already, you start to look at, maybe an actress or something along that line that may have acted on the genetic information that was available to her. And you know, so we affiliate it with cancer, but I've also thought that there's a potential here for a great many other issues to be addressed, doctor. More than cancer, am I wrong?
Well, for genetic analysis, there's all sorts of opportunities beyond cancer or that intersect with cancer. So, for instance, there's comorbidities with diabetes and problems related to obesity and cancer. So having a more holistic view of all the things you're facing helps us understand how to treat your cancer. So you're right, you know, and that also comes from genetic testing. But the precision in cancer is just amazing these days. That's what has us as clinicians and researchers so exciting.
And I think there's also a level of certainty we experience from this knowledge that we didn't have before.
Absolutely. Like, for instance, you know, a simple colonoscopy to detect polyps. We know that if we remove those polyps, you're not going to get a cancer. If the cancer has spread, the treatment is quite different. We also know that you might inherit faulty genes from your family, and so you may end up with quite a few polyps. And so that dictates more regular colonoscopies. So that would be examples of how a simple visual detection leads to preventing cancer, and a familial history with a genetic workup can warrant greater effort to detect those cancers and prevent them.
All right, House Bill 1779 is on the governor's desk right now, and this asks insurance companies to pay for this biomarker diagnosis. Is that correct?
Yes.
The insurance company is excited about the prospect of this being signed?
Well, absolutely. They should be because, look, treating cancer early is much less effective, much more effective, and leads to fewer costs in terms of the complexity of cancer care. Catching cancer late when treatment is difficult takes the individual down an odyssey of complex, expensive treatment. So it's pretty straightforward to see the cost benefit of detecting cancer early. Families are happier. People can work more effectively. It's pretty straightforward. So insurance companies would like to have this type of stuff covered, and working with the state is going to be huge to help for the coverage in a place like University of Illinois Cancer Center, where we have many patients who have questions about their coverage, and HB 1779 will help alleviate them, solve some of those questions, so that we can have more equitable care across the state and the city.
And that's because that's a resource story, which we're going to talk more about in just a couple of moments. But, you know, I've been on the planet long enough to see medicine change in a very profound respect, which is what you just talked about. We've gone from being reactive, we still are, but we have changed medical care to being from reactive to being proactive, to being preventative. And I think that, you know, this reflects that change, because you just outlined it, the cost, the devastation, if you let it progress, catch it early, more effective, and it happens on a lot of different levels. But here's the thing, doctor, and I've seen this, because we have the science and we say, okay, you show up with this genetic predisposition, this biomarker that says breast cancer, it says lung cancer. Well, you've got the science. But when it comes to using that science and using it for the person you're talking about, there needs to be a human element, that counselor that says, no, this is, because, you know, go out, somebody, doctor, I know you've had, somebody goes out and checks out their diagnosis on the internet and they're freaking out. There has to be some hand-holding on this knowledge so the right decisions are made for that person. That seems to be crucial in this.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what we see at the University of Illinois Cancer Center, the need to help educate our community. The way we're doing that now is really asking the community, what are you facing when you come in and talk to a doctor or go on a website? What do you see? And it's exactly the way you described it. There's more questions, there's fear, and there's misunderstanding. And so, in particular, if a person comes in with a familial history, it's a complex issue to understand, because it's not like you are being told you have a cancer now. It's you're being told you have a risk for cancer and you need to prepare for that. And that takes a lot of thought. So the use of counselors and physician training to help them speak directly to patients in a way that they can understand and make educated decisions is so important. We're growing that particular area under the direction of Dr. Pam Gamshaw at the University of Illinois Cancer Center. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That's the way to help cancer patients understand their biomarker tests, understand the choices, and getting the right drug against the right cancer.
We're joined this morning by Dr. Jan Kiedziewski, Dr. is University of Illinois Cancer Center and the head of the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at the University of Illinois Chicago. This biomarker legislation wants to expand appropriate coverage of biomarker testing for state-regulated public and private insurance plans. Is this only about cancer? I mean, we talked about this before, but you and I have really landed on this cancer thing. There's been so much research done. But, I mean, is this more effective to say you have a genetic predisposition for diabetes? If you start minding your diet now, we can control that. I mean, are there other areas that show promise in this area?
It goes well beyond cancer, but pivoting back to cancer, I just would like to point out that right now effective biomarker testing is limited to a subset of cancers: lung, breast, colon, skin, prostate, cervical. They have great ways of detecting early, but many cancers like pancreatic and ovary does not. Research on the horizon is suggesting we can do future blood-based tests to detect some of those cancers. And HB 1779, setting the precedent for the currently available biomarker tests, is going to be so important for understanding how to use these new tests. Because when they get onboarded, it's going to be a whole new world, and we're going to have to think about what it means to detect other types of cancer, like pancreatic cancer, early, and how do we care for those patients. So I think, you know, before going on to discuss diabetes, which you're absolutely right, I just want to highlight that we're now entering a phase where the vast majority of cancers might be able to be detected early. And that's going to be a game changer for what happens in terms of cancer care.
But doctor, I think at this point, you know, since we're on this subject, I've been getting an education on cancer treatment, you know, through friends primarily. And yes. I'm really kind of astounded. You know, I mean, I had talked to a friend of mine, stage 3 rectal cancer. And he's, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to survive this, right? I got a 70% chance. You know, they're gonna do the chemo, then they're going to do the radiation, then they're going to do the surgery, right? And he's got this high level of confidence there. He wouldn't have it if we didn't know that we have a much more targeted approach, because I think that leans into what we're talking about. We know this thing exists. We're going to go look for it, see if we can stop it. Because you have done, in particular, a lot of research in angiogenesis. And so I think this makes you in particular, because that thing can't grow if it doesn't have blood supply, and you're looking at the very moment in which the blood goes to that tumor and starts to grow and you can stop it. So I think when it comes to preventive care, biomarkers, that's why I was so excited to have you as a guest.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because, yes, the anti-androgenic agents are really effective in some cancers, like renal cancer. But now they're actually being combined with cutting-edge drugs that harness your own immune system. So you've likely heard about this, but your body knows how to attack cancers, but the cancers themselves set up, proteins that prevent that attack from occurring. One of those proteins is called PD-L1. So that protein can be treated with an antibody that blocks its activity. Now your immune system can go ahead and attack that cancer. That's the way it works now. That's frontline treatment for late-stage melanoma, which had no effective treatment options a decade or so ago. But when you combine that immune attack with alterations of the blood vessels, we're finding that there's even more effective attack, that the immune cells that need to attack the tumor are getting access to the tumor much more effectively. So there's all these twists and turns of how you might harness blood vessel growth or blood vessel function or your immune system growth. So now we're not just throwing deadly agents like chemo at the cancer. We are actually harnessing our own bodies to attack it. And this has just been a game changer for treatment of things like non-small cell lung cancer and melanoma. And it's being much more widely used in experimental trials. There's promise now in triple negative breast cancer. So there's some exciting times ahead of us.
There's a question just came in from Harry, and I cannot turn away from this question. I find it intriguing. He says, you know, now that the insurance companies have this information, they've paid for it, they know that you're genetically predisposed towards, say, lung cancer, what's to stop them from raising your insurance rates because they have that genetic information? I think that's a good question. Is there anything addressing that in this legislation by chance?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I can't say that I know for sure whether this particular legislation addresses that issue, other than to say that it will set the standards for coverage or the insurance coverages that are included in the legislation. So there'll be less doubt about what is covered and what is not. So the answer is, it's likely that will help prevent any individual for being excluded or having their rates raised based on a predisposition. But just like having a predisposition or not, detecting cancer early saves lives and saves costs. So whether you have a predisposition to a particular type of cancer or not, this is a way to save money, save lives, and have people be more productive. So I would just go back to the original argument that covering this is so important for our health and welfare.
When I look at your list of at a list that I was supplied of people who are supporting this, it was in part of a letter that was sent to the governor. I would be here until the end of the hour reading off this doggone list of people who support this, including the American Cancer Society. And when I look at this list, I also see Southern Illinois University Medicine, the Simmons Cancer Institute, Susan G. Komen, which we're familiar with, and of course the University of Illinois Cancer Center. You have a lot of support, but this law, this proposal, has gotten like no sunshine. It's I called a couple of people yesterday. They go, what? I mean, they're in the medical field. They're specifically in cancer treatment, and we're unaware of this pending legislation that really only needs the governor's signature.
Well, Tom, you're doing the job of helping raise shine light on this issue, because it's a hugely important issue, and I think if any family that you'll talk to has had some intersection with cancer, so this touches almost everybody's lives, and so I thank you so much for bringing it up on your radio show. But yes, there's widespread support. We've worked closely with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, which utilizes survivors and volunteers, including I volunteered myself based on the fact that I've had a family member who I lost to breast cancer. And we've talked directly to legislators, and they are very receptive and very positive. But yes, I think that the education of the citizens of Illinois about the importance of biomarker testing goes beyond coverage. It goes to the fact that everybody should know about this, be aware of this, and seek that kind of testing. There's a lot of fear around cancer, but the fear is more directed at late-stage cancers. If you detect cancer early, honestly, there's a lot of hope, because you can treat it early and you can treat it effectively. So I think early detection is hope. Late detection means a challenge. So I think the next phase will be making sure all people are aware of the continued opportunities to get their cancer detected or prevented with now a vaccine against human papillomavirus, which is the prime cause of cervical cancer in women and men. Cervical cancer in women and other types of cancer in men. That vaccine is so effective that cervical cancer is largely preventable if everybody is vaccinated at the appropriate age. So there's certain type of cancers that are going to disappear, in particular, with effective vaccination. Cervical cancer will be receding quite dramatically. So I think the next stage is going beyond signing of HB 1779 and advocating for everybody to be aware of the opportunities for testing and treatment.
I've talked to someone at the Siteman Cancer Institute, and they brought me into awareness of this. Why not, when we're preemptive care, just have a vaccine so cancer never starts? And you never think about it that way. I mean, you have to turn the picture upside down to kind of understand, because we're so conditioned. I've got one reservation. It was in an article, Journal of Urology, the man who specifically invented the PSA, the protein-specific antigen test for prostate cancer. And in a later article, years after that test was, basically the standard, he said he wished he'd never done it, that people overreacted to the tests, and that he emasculated two generations of men because people overreacted to the PSA test he'd created. He said it never would have killed them. Chances are it wouldn't have impaired them. It was a very slow growth cancer, and yet we went in and emasculated people in an effort to treat them because they were afraid. And I've never been able to shake that article once I read it. A guy who did something that helped so many people says, I wish I hadn't done it because people overreacted.
Well, yes, I think you bring up an excellent example of how the utility of biomarker tests should be done in a very educated and informed fashion. The PSA test has been very informative for some cases, and the standards for its use have evolved. It's clear that we need to be highly educated at each step of onboarding tests and elevating our knowledge to utilize the tests more and more effectively. The example that I'm going to give again that's coming on the horizon are new blood-based tests to detect cancer cells in your blood early on. We don't yet, we know these tests are working based on new published literature, but we don't yet know how to effectively treat in all those cases. We don't want to over-treat. We don't want to under-treat. And the example you gave of PSA testing, although it's had great value, there has been misunderstanding about how to most effectively use it. And there are still refinements to the guidelines. So this just speaks to the case of keeping ourselves educated, keeping ourselves open-minded, and keeping ourselves realistic about what a test can show, what its promise is, and then proving whether it's effective over time, and not having people needlessly be exposed to a type of test that we don't understand well enough. This, you know, getting back to the issue of genetic counseling, having an altered gene that you inherit doesn't mean that you will have a cancer. It means you need to discuss the risk, and that's a complicated concept sometimes to understand because, you know, there's fear about having that risk, but there's also awareness. So I think we just have to be very diligent as citizens, as scientists and clinicians about using the tests as well as we possibly can.
Dr. Jan Kitiewski has been our guest this morning. He's a director of the University of Illinois Cancer Center and the head of the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at the University of Illinois Chicago. As I told you before this interview, real privilege to be able to spend the time with you today and looking at your research because you do lymphatic spread. You've done the beginning of tumors. You're really especially getting in front of it. And I've looked at some of your research, what I understood, and I really appreciate you being so generous with your time today.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate the awareness that you're bringing to your to the folks that are listening in on your radio show. So thank you for that as well.